Sundays. Other than that, I don't have many more to highlight. Sarah had an announcement, so we'll invite her up.
Good morning. I'm here to talk about VBS again. That sign-up sheet has been in the foyer for a couple of weeks, and a lot of you have signed up for cookies and prayer partners, which is amazing. But I just want to ask again for more volunteers for leading the groups. And I could give a little bit of a rundown. We've got a couple of age groups that still need a Bible story teacher. And if there is someone who would like to take on the leading, the main leading of the games department, so basically it's just fun. So who likes fun, right? So we need someone. I've got one volunteer to help, but it really is good to have more than one for that group. Group leaders is the main thing. And if you think that sounds intimidating, I just want to tell you it's really not. A group leader is just, you will be assigned a group of kids. Hopefully we get enough leaders that the groups are smaller. And you just need to make sure they stay together in a group and shuffle from station to station. So you don't need any child education degree or anything. You just need to love kids and want to have some fun this summer. So please consider signing up for that. I know we often have like young adults, a lot of young adults and teenagers, and that is fantastic. But I tell you, it would just be so great if we had a variety of age groups coming to help. I just think it's amazing when kids know more people in church, not just their Sunday school teachers. You know, if they just, I just think it's really great when the different age groups can mingle and everybody knows each other. You know, it takes a village, right? And this is our village. So please consider signing up in some way. And just a special challenge, if you have never volunteered with VBS, or if it's been many, many years since you have, I would encourage you to make this the year that you do it, okay? It's gonna be fun and just a wonderful way to be part of something in our church, a great thing, and it's a short time commitment if that's a concern. Also, I would like to acknowledge that Rosetown Agro and Southern Meats have very generously taken on the kickoff barbecue, and they are going to take care of that whole barbecue for the community on the 1st of July when we kick off our VBS event. So a big thank you to them. I think it's gonna be wonderful. And one final thing, we have our online registration is up and running. Jerry got that all set up. If you go to Facebook, BMC Youth, you will find a link there. You can sign up to register your children and also to register as a volunteer. So please check that out. Thank you.
Sarah. Maybe I missed it because I'm only half here. Did you say the dates? July 1st to 5th evenings? Okay, maybe you did say that. I may have just missed it. July 1st to 5th evenings. So that helps for those of you who are at work during the day and still would like to participate. Thank you, Sarah. Anybody else have an announcement this morning? Okay, let's go over to our call to worship then. In the bulletin, on the bottom, the verse for the week is Psalm 63, verses 4 and 5. I will get to those in a moment. They are the key verses in the passage I want to read for us. But before that, I want to start with Psalm 64. So I don't know what order the Psalms were written. They may not have been chronologically. I'm going to shuffle them about a little bit today. And I'm going to start with Psalm 64, just the first little section. And I'm going to read it from the message because that's how I felt this week. Listen and help, O God. I am reduced to a whine and a whimper, obsessed with feelings of doomsday. Don't let them find me. The conspirators are out to get me, using their tongues as weapons, flinging poison words. Poison-tipped arrow words, and he goes on and on and on about all the horrible things that are happening. Remember that he starts with, I am reduced to a whine. Then at the very bottom, or at the very end of the chapter, he says, all believers come here and listen. Let me tell you what God did for me. I called out to him with my mouth. My tongue shaped the sounds of music. as if it had been cozy with evil, the Lord would never have listened. But he most surely did listen. He came on the double when he heard my prayer. Blessed be God. He didn't turn a deaf ear. He stayed with me, loyal in his love. And then I want to go back to Psalm 63. God, you are my God. I can't get enough of you. I have worked up such hunger and thirst for God, traveling across the dry and weary deserts. So here I am in this place of worship, eyes opened, drinking in your strength and glory. In your generous love, I am really living at last. My lips brim praises like fountains. I bless you every time I take a breath. My arms wave like banners of praise to you. I eat my fill of prime rib and gravy. I smack my lips. It's time to shout praises. If I'm sleepless at midnight, I spend the hours in grateful reflection because you've always stood up for me. I'm going to stop there. So two very different responses to God, knowing both of them that God is there, God is present. The first one is those days where we are reduced to a whine and a whimper, obsessed with feelings of doomsday. The other, somebody who's searching to be filled with God, somebody who's searching and so grateful for what God has done. In a couple of conversations over the week and last night, I was reminded of an incident that happened in Bolivia. We came back from the market, a couple of us, and we had bags full of things, and we went into our common kitchen, which had a granite-type, stone-type counter and tile floor. Everything was cold and hard, and as we were unloading groceries, somebody took out a large jar, I think it was honey, and it would have been fairly costly, took it out, and by accident, as they put it down on the counter, hit the edge, and the glass jar exploded on the edge and smacked all over the floor. So we had honey and glass all over this cold, hard floor. And the person who dropped it, the response was, "Oh, rats!" And I remember so distinctly one of my colleagues who was also in the room there looking at him and going, "That is the first thing that came out of your mouth?" And he meant it in a very positive way, because I think the words that would have come out of his mouth would have been a little sharper. But that piece has always stuck with me. What's the first thing that comes out of our mouth? What's the first thing? What's my reaction when things get tight and I get squeezed? Am I a Psalm 64? I'm reduced to a whine and a whimper, obsessed with doomsday? Or can I say, along with the verses in Psalm 63, God, you are my God. I can't get enough of you. I've worked up such hunger and thirst. In your generous love, I am really living at last. And I've been challenged this week in the midst of a lot of changes and big decisions, other things. What is my first response? Am I able to first respond to say God is good and he's been working, or is it something else? That's what God and I are working on, and hopefully you can be challenged this morning. I'm eager to see what God has for us through Shar's words this morning and how he will challenge us that way. Let's bow our heads to pray. Father God, we are grateful this morning for the opportunity to gather and worship you together. An opportunity to share your word with each other in discussion and conversation, in listening and in prayer. An opportunity to learn and be challenged. Fill us, Lord, with your love and your spirit. May we learn to better reflect your great love to the world around us. This morning we pray for those of our families that are hurting, whether they are sick alone, missing someone, or in some other way needing more of you today. Lord, we hold before you the leaders in our community, our church, in our governments, those in municipal, provincial, and larger country government situations. Lord, I pray that you would guide them. We have folks from our midst who are out about in the world, some traveling, some intentionally out doing your work. We ask, Lord, that you would accompany them, that you would continue to hold them in your care and provide what they need today. We want to praise you and thank you for who you are. Your great love and your mercy towards us so often go unnoticed. Forgive us, Lord, for our selfish desires and attitudes. We sin so often. Please cleanse our hearts and fill us with more of you. We desire to worship you in holiness and acknowledge that you are, that without you we are nothing. I pray this morning for Shar as she brings us your words. Pray that you would guide her thoughts and her tongue, that she might be your messenger today. Also work in all of our hearts so that we might hear what you have for each one of us. Thank you, Father, for your presence here today. Amen. And I'd invite Kendra and her team to lead us in worship this morning.
Something that was on my heart a lot as I was just preparing for this was just someone specific in our congregation who is not here actually right now. Katrina is going for her MRI on this Wednesday to check how the tumor is doing in her spine. And something I believe is really important as a congregation and as believers is to just believe for her and press in prayer for her healing. And so for this first song, I just want us to either if you know the song, just sing it, just believing for Katrina, and if you don't know it, just press in prayer. And yeah, I just think that's something really cool we could do on her behalf because we're a family. And yeah, so I invite you to stand and just, yeah, let's press in for more of God. Thank you. The song I chose has just been a prayer of mine for the past few years, is that God would give me dove's eyes, and that because a dove can only look one way, he can't turn his eyes. And so when he's looking at some of my dove's eyes, my prayer has been that God would give me dove's eyes for Jesus. And so then when I found this song, it was just went along with my prayer, and so it's been really special to me. So feel free to sing along if you'd like.
Thank you, Kendra, for the challenge to look right at God. I'd invite the children to come forward at this time. I think there's a children's story this morning, so come on up.
All right, everybody. I'm going to test you with some really big words. Want a full, abundant, satisfying life. Do you know what that means? Didn't think so. So let me show you what I mean. Hold on. Got to practice self-control today by not looking in the bags just yet. Okay, so I want to know what makes you really happy. Do you have something that you really playing outside? Yeah. What about playing outside? Playing in bouncy castles? Oh, yeah, that sounds really fun. What else makes you excited? Tenley, do you have something? Anyone else? What makes you feel really good about yourself? Yeah, Asher? Oh, when you do something that nobody tells you to do, like before they ask you to do it, you do it before they ask? Yeah, you do something without being asked. That's a really good feeling, and the person who you're doing it for probably makes you feel really good about that, hey? All right. You know what makes some people feel really good about themselves? Is if you're on a sports team and you score a goal, or even just being on the team is really fun. Do any of you play sports? Yeah? What sport do you play? You play hockey? You play baseball? You play baseball too? Does it feel really good to be on the team? Yeah, that's a good feeling. You're on the orange team? You're number four. That's awesome. And you haven't got your jerseys yet, so you don't know what color they are or what number. Blue. Okay. Right on. Well, it feels really good to be on the team, hey? So I have a jar here, and we're going to see if being on the team, that good feeling, satisfies us completely. So I have some balls here to represent playing sports. Let's see if I can find them all. Who wants to be my helper? Okay, so guess what? I have lots of things, so each of you can help me. But Asher, why don't you come sit here by that jar? I'm going to give you some balls, and you see if you can make it completely full of balls. Go ahead. Okay, so everybody look at this jar. Is there empty space in the jar?
No.
Oh, yes. Is there air in there? It looks like there's lots of space. Yeah. So it doesn't completely fill up the jar, hey? So does playing sports make your life completely full? No. It makes you happy for a little while, but then you want more, right? Gotta always do more. Okay. What about, yeah, Sadie? Yes, you can. You can help with my next thing, okay? What about getting the coolest toy? Does that make you feel excited and really happy? Yeah. Okay, so Sadie, you got to help me with this. Actually, for this one, I'm probably going to need two helpers. Sadie and Shiloh, do you want to come help me? Okay, so there is a jar, and we're going to try and fill it with these toys. This is a really cool toy. It's a Mr. Potato Head that you can put different pieces in it. See if you can fill up that jar with those toys. Okay, I'll just hold this up so everybody else can see. Is that jar completely full? No. Really? It's a little bit fuller than the balls, but is there still some? Oh, yeah, there's still some empty space there, hey? Okay, good to know. Okay, what else makes you really happy in life? Asher? Oh, getting a new remote control. That kind of falls in the toy category, hey? Getting new stuff. stuff is awesome. All right. What else? How about, have any of you gone to see a movie? Yeah? In the theater or even at home? Do you have Netflix? Did it break for the summer? Is that what happened? Sometimes ours doesn't work in summer either. I think it's the heat. It just doesn't work. Okay, so I have a jar here, and we're going to see if we can fill it with popcorn, because sometimes when you watch a movie, you eat popcorn, right? Can you help me, Sawyer? This one might get a little messy. This might take a while. I think it's going to get fuller than the other ones, though. Yeah, keep going. I'm going to help you a little bit. Yeah, there you go. Drop it all in.
Maybe somebody's making some in here.
It's getting close. Don't want to spill it. We got to have enough for the jar, guys. Oh, it's almost there, almost there. Okay, don't take it. Okay, yeah, Deacon, put in another handful. Okay. All right. Everyone, look at this popcorn jar. That is pretty full. What? There's still some air in there? Oh, wow. Okay, who thinks there's air in there? Raise your hand. Oh, wow. Okay. There is still gaps in there. You're right. It's not completely full. Oh, okay.
I didn't raise.
You didn't raise your hand. You think it's completely full? I think something could make this fuller. Thank you, Esther. Okay, what else makes us really happy? I have something. How about, who's in school? Raise your hand if you're in school. Do you have tests? Do you? You don't have tests? Okay, well, when you're older in school, you might have tests. And it feels really good to get 100% on a test, to get everything right. Don't you feel good when you do everything right? So here I have... I'm going to need someone else's help with this. Who hasn't helped yet? Myla and Tenley, you'll be good helpers. You can help with the next one. All right, I want you to try and fill this jar. They're trying to fill the jar up with pencils and writing things. To represent academics, doing a good job at something. Maybe if you're a little older, this could represent having a good career. Okay, oh boy. That is getting really full. It looks like it's overflowing. Is there still some space in there? Okay, so it's not completely full. I think we're getting the hang of this. So these things don't fill us completely, do they? They don't fully satisfy us. The good feeling doesn't last forever. Okay, Judah, can you help me with the next one? This is something I think you'll enjoy. Candy. Candy makes us happy. Oh, yeah. Okay, tell you what. You'll all get a marshmallow afterwards. I have marshmallows instead of candy. But don't eat them yet, okay? Colt, can you help me with this too?
Okay, Sawyer and Deacon, why don't you both sit back down there? Judah and Colt, come over here, and we'll see if we can fill up this jar with marshmallows. I'm going to help you out a little bit, and then you guys can see if you can top it up. Okay, there you go.
Oh, there's a big one.
There's a big one. Okay, stick your hand in there, see if you can fill it up the rest of the way with marshmallows.
you're doing a really good job helping. Oh, don't eat them yet. Okay. Has anybody eaten just like one piece of candy and your parents said you couldn't have any more, but you want more? You eat all you want. And when it's gone, then what? Then it's gone, right? It's just gone and there's no more. Oh, then you have lots of energy. Oh, yeah. Sugar is good for that. All right. It's empty. We'll put that one in there. Oops. Why don't we top it up with some popcorn? Can you put that in there? Okay, so we're going to pretend these marshmallows fill up the jar. But is there still some space in there?
Yes.
Okay, so it's not full either. When we eat candy, it makes us happy, but only temporarily. Gives us a little bit of joy, maybe. Thank you. Okay. I'm not done yet. You can. All right, let me show you something that can fill us up completely. Watch this. So water filled up that jar completely. There's no space left. Did you know that Jesus calls himself living water? He does. So Judah, just leave that alone for now, okay? Jesus calls himself living water. He's the only thing that satisfies us 100%, completely, fully, just like this jar is full. And here's something Jesus said about being full.
Judah, stop drinking the water.
Okay, this is a verse from John 10, verse 10. It's out of the Bible.
And that's my Bible.
And this is Judah's Bible. It says, "A thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I came," that's Jesus, "to give life, life in all its fullness." So Jesus came to give us full life. Let's pray together and then you guys can go and have a marshmallow, okay? Thank you, Jesus, that you came to give us full life, life that satisfies us completely and that we're not left wanting more, but that you fill us completely. Amen.
So now you can all go and get a marshmallow from the jar.
To stand again. The next two songs are more about asking God for more, knowing that, I don't know, that he He tells us, John 7, verse 37, anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart. So just we can come knowing that he will satisfy us. And if you do desire, he will. He won't just not fulfill it. And so you can have confidence in that. So, yeah, the first song is As a Deer, and I invite you just to, yeah, just come and drink and receive and just desire for God.
As a deer, Good morning. Today I'll be reading from Luke 6, verse 43 to 45, and John 4, verses 4 to 15. And actually, instead of Psalm, we'll be reading from Isaiah 55, verses 1 to 3a. And I'm reading from the NIV. So I'll start with Luke. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. And I'll move over to John 4, verses 4 to 15. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, and as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." Then Isaiah 55, verses 1 to 3a says, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me here. Hear me, that your soul may live."
You ready to go? Hearts, water, satisfaction. When our God speaks, we do well to listen carefully. He speaks when we need what we need to hear. He is our comforter, so he speaks comfort. He speaks words of wisdom or knowledge to us because that's what's in him. He speaks even out of stillness straight into our hearts because he can. And he speaks only truth. Our God speaks and acts and lives out of the heart of who he is. So do we. So good to be with you. Thank you for inviting me to say a few things. Hearts, water, satisfaction. First, hearts. And not the beating organ in our chest, the other one we hear so much about in the Bible and on the streets. A kind heart, strengthening our hearts, sick hearts. I heart you, giving our hearts away, deceitful hearts, hardened hearts. Have a heart, rejoicing heart, the word in your heart. Happy heart, a heart set on something, guard your heart. Commandments to be on your heart, search my heart. A Bible dictionary says this. The word heart occurs over 1,000 times in the Bible. It denotes a person's center for both physical and emotional, intellectual, moral activities. Dictionaries do this, right? Mm-hmm. Because of this critical function, the Father in Proverbs 16, it continues, says, in his heart a man plans his course. So because of this critical function, the Father in Proverbs 4 instructs the Son, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. End of the dictionary quote. So the heart, our heart, the wellspring of life, the headquarters, if you will, central intelligence, the motherboard, it's where the rubber hits the road. Our soul, the deepest part of us. We're warned that it must be protected or the whole thing goes down. So what kind of security, if any, do I have that watches what goes into my heart? It would seem that some of it from my deepest self has either been there from the start, probably has been peppered by my past, but mostly it's what I've put in or allowed in. And it's natural that what's in there is also what comes out. We know that what we plant is going to be what comes up. You don't get the potatoes from planting a tulip bulb. Jesus explained it so well, as we, Chris just read. Make a tree good, fruit will be good. Bad, fruit will be bad. It comes from the evil or the good that is stored up. Logical. That tree's made up in such a way that it makes apples. If a carrot seed's been planted, we don't expect apples. I must admit that sometimes my security system stationed to watch my heart is sadly lacking. You know, years ago there was a coworker of mine who used to bring this great dessert to work all the time, and she called it rhubarb. What did you say? Sharp word. Offensive word. Don't you think to this day I cannot make rhubarb meringue without that coming into my mind every time? What goes in or is allowed to stay in, it seems to stay, and it seems to be really hard to uproot. Wherever your feet go, they say, that's where you'll end up. We often point to 21st century media when we think of what we put into our hearts and minds. The music, TV, Instagram, gaming, etc., and that's true. Great or not so great, it'll show up in us one way or the other. But the problem goes way further back as far as scripture goes. The people whose stories we read about in the Bible were busy filling their minds and hearts with something just like we do. Yearly, weekly, hourly, and minute by minute, right? We can't put Kool-Aid in the car's gas tank and think it'll keep going. We can't put molasses in the printer. What we fill our tanks with makes all the difference. What we do, what do we do to fill our tanks on a daily basis? We'll leave that simmer for a minute. The next, water. Thoroughly refreshing water. No color, it's clear, so you'd know if anything else is in it. It has no calories, no bad ingredients. It's better thirst quencher than any Gatorade. We know humans don't last long without it, right? By the way, did you know there's a new drink out called Liquid Death? The slogan is, murder your thirst. It's just water in a tall can. Yep, that takes care of the thirst all right. By nature, we crave water. I mean crave, like an addiction, like the infamous pregnancy cravings, can't even say it. They all do anything to feel satisfied kind of craving, and water, it's known not to disappoint, it satisfies. And by design, we also crave spiritual water. More on that later. Satisfaction, hearts, water, and satisfaction. Back to the Bible's John Neufeld says, all of life is taken up in one long search for permanent satisfaction. Isn't that true? The actor and comedian Will Rogers famously said, we spend money on what we don't have to buy things we don't need to impress people we don't even like. And that was back in the 1900s, early 1900s. Why do we do that? Why is it that most of us, no matter how much we have, can't seem to get no satisfaction? There are people living on Madison Avenue, New York City, making six, nine figures who are trying to figure out how they can buy themselves some deep and real satisfaction. Well, take away from anybody the hope of truly being satisfied, and we tend to try to anesthetize that need for deep satisfaction with whatever we can find. It's what we do, and sometimes we sell ourselves pretty cheap, don't we? Find ourselves eating, drinking calories, and starving ourselves. Empty calories and starving ourselves. But thirst also implies a certain weakness, doesn't it? And we don't really like that. So sometimes we fake not being thirsty. It's hard, though. It can look like being discontented, feeling unsettled, consistently looking for someone or something new, better, more, different. Again, the Will Rogers says, we don't know what we want, but we're ready to bite somebody to get it. Sometimes the thirst looks like loneliness, shoulders sagging down to the bone, weariness, crushing sadness, and hopelessness. We need something. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul longs for you, we just sang. So the song we heard at the beginning, it came to guitarist Keith Richards literally in the middle of the night. He woke up, recorded the music, and 3 weeks later, the Rolling Stones recorded what we heard a few minutes ago, I Can't Get No Satisfaction. Sorry about putting that into your heads. You can't get it out for the rest of your day. Think of the moral of the story, okay? It became their launching pad to fame. Mick Jagger, who wrote the lyrics to the song, said at the time that it simply expressed his frustration with consumerism and commercialism he found in the U.S. And James Merritt, a pastor, commented that in 40 years, nothing's changed, he said, that you could almost make this song the national anthem of our nation. I can't get no satisfaction. Well, in fact, you can, right? Just for the asking. The installation of the Holy Spirit himself right in us is available. He fills every nook and cranny. The full satisfying package, the truth completely accessible, the counselor always on hand to counsel, the great comforter always on hand when we need it, and you know that's only the start. One time a man was desperately trying to get Jesus' attention. Jesus turned him and asked him point blank, what do you want me to do for you? What if it's still a question he wants us to answer? And if you'd say what you really want, what would you say? What is it that's your deepest, deepest desire? What would it make to make you feel really alive? We find ourselves in a world filled with many tempting waters said to satisfy any thirst. And yet our chorus seems to be always closer to I can't get no satisfaction. That pull of the heart and mind for satisfaction is really persistent, isn't it? Saint Augustine wrote, "Our hearts are only satisfied when they're satisfied with God." They are really, truly only satisfied then. King David pursued many passions, including women, kingdoms, power. But he admitted in the end that his longing really couldn't be quenched by anything but the touch of God, over and over again. Psalm 63 is one. "Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you." This is a guy who had everything. And when the fog dissipates and we see God a little bit more clearly, we can also see the emptiness of some of our pursuits more clearly, can't we? David said again, "I spread out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land." We've just seen that only water can completely fill a space. And we have heard that Jesus calls himself that water. It's not just words. It's not just a great idea that the church dreamed up. It is truth. Our hearts know it. But I can't always make my mind know it and go to that satisfaction. It's true of the heart. We can fill it with junk. We can partially fill it, but we can also stuff it with stuffing. A kind of the meh, kind of okay, not bad, not good, just existing. Like an adult staying in kindergarten or a pro staying in the little leagues. Our hearts know better. We know that we need something that actually checks all our boxes longer than the time it takes to finish a Milka crushed hazelnut milk chocolate bar. Or until the friends leave, or as long as the show goes on or the game lasts. It's that niggling feeling that my life is okay, but is this as good as it gets? As if spiritual mediocrity is the best I can hope for here on earth. It's just easier to stay on the bench sometimes. Yeah, but does it satisfy? My heart cries out for the living God. My heart yearns within me. You can feel his yearning as you can feel your own yearning. I know a little 1.5-year-old whose thing right now, after she takes a sip from the sippy cup, is to go, ah, after each sip. There's something about that. Now, for the best part. Would you turn with me, if you've got your Bibles or if you're pulling them out of the benches, to Isaiah 55 again, that piece that Chris just read for us. This is where I've been coming back to over and over and over again in the past weeks and months. If this verses spark anything in you, please at home, ask God to speak more of it to you. There's so much there. You've most likely been here many times before, but I'm so excited to take you here today. Here's where hearts, water, satisfaction, the pictures we just looked at, everything all comes together with such impact. Let's look again. We'll look at each little piece of it. There's so much here. You know, these verses actually start, and some of your translations will say this, with an interjection, hoi, or ho in some translations, which is described as wonder or astonishment. So now our piece actually starts looking more like, wow, come. Invitation makes us smile, right? Somebody wants us to come. Like the guy, your friend who drives up in the car and says, come on, come, let's go. The invitation that says, come to the party, to the wedding. Here it's a heartfelt, come, kind, gentle eyes looking right at us. Doesn't it feel like the voice of Jesus? The same one who said, let them come to me. Sometimes when you read a letter or a note, you go, oh yeah, it looks, sounds just like them. It's got to be written by this person because it sounds just like them. Doesn't this remind you of something else too? When Jesus was gently speaking to those who were hurting and needing, and he said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Here in Isaiah, doesn't it feel like that same gentleness? Not harsh or demanding, not a get over here, not pushy, kind. Just like we know Jesus to be over and over again in Scripture. And we've known him to be like that in our own lives, haven't we? Come, who? All, anybody, Jew, Gentile, whether we think we're spiritual enough, good enough, doesn't even factor in. A group that qualifies doesn't exist. Anybody who's thirsty, take a pulse. Are you thirsty? Am I needy? Yes, so we qualify. If we want to come, we can come. If we want to. Matthew Henry says here this, where God gives grace, he first gives a thirsting after it. And where he gives a thirsting after it, he'll give it. Psalm 107, for he satisfies the thirsty. And then he says in Isaiah, I will pour water on the thirsty land. Next, see the next piece we're looking at now? It's still in verse 1. To where we invited to the waters. Those waters that quench and thirst. We thirst. And sometimes we're not sure what we're thirsting for, but if somebody promised they could take care of that thirst once and for all, completely, wouldn't we be like the desert traveler who finds a waterfall and just stands in it and doesn't matter if it drenches him and he's opening his mouth and letting it all pour in? Wouldn't we be just like that? And we'd be utterly satisfied. We get promised exactly that. In Revelation, it continues. Revelation 21, to him who is thirsty, I will give drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. Same thing again, right? It almost sounds almost exactly the same words. Now we're in Revelation. Revelation 22, the Spirit and the Bride say, come, whoever is thirsty. Huh. Let's keep going. The next part. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Couple of notes here. First, none of us has this kind of money. Our money or assets are no good here. We don't have this kind of currency. Nor do we have what we might consider the right spiritual currency. Sometimes I just don't have what it takes. Nothing to offer. Come buy. Well, buying means now you own it. It's yours. Right? Next note, normally when we purchase something, the benefit goes both ways, right? I get what I pay for, you get something in exchange that you want. Usually that's money. In this case, or when it's free, you assume that the person selling doesn't even need anything that you have to exchange for it. There just isn't anything in this case that we could offer God in compensation. There just isn't. And the last thing, part of this that struck me was eat, implying let's not just sit around. The next piece, come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. The cost. Always a thing, isn't it? Always a question. The sign says on this, free. This right here is a Southern Manitoba dream come true. It's a bona fide all-you-can-eat buffet. No paying for what gives lasting satisfaction. This is a deal of a lifetime, and satisfaction is guaranteed. It costs us nothing. But as we were just remembering at Easter, it cost Jesus everything. Three kinds of liquid promised here. Water, milk, wine. Water, basic sustenance. Milk, often associated with babies, nourishment and growth. Wine, commentaries talk about it meaning the luxury, the extras. Even that he looks after? One place talks about it as if it addresses the child in us, that we need to run, laugh, be free, skip, jump, that kind of water. Water, milk, wine. The next piece. Why spend money on what's not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Good question. You do it all the time. Isn't it one of those, why do I do what I don't want to do and not do what I want to do? Why can I do something for hours that helps no one? Not saying rest is a bad thing. And I can't seem to find time for what will actually satisfy me. Frederick Buchner says, the place God calls you to is the place where your deepest gladness and the whole world's deep hunger meet. That's the place, the sweet spot. Continuing, verse 2b. If you listen to me, your soul will delight in the richest of fare. This is the last part of it. He totally saw us coming. He knew we'd wonder what's in it for us. Yeah, you'll be satisfied. At the end of this, I promise you. He's well aware of every one of our deepest desires. He's the one who says, I will be satisfied. There's got to be something here, right? It puts a whole new meaning to, you are going to love this. To conclude, it's our privilege to drink this water. Will everything be fine? Feel like we're at the spa? No. We know from experience that's not how it is. It's the heart that gets filled. The heart that gets filled. Our circumstances may be anything but fine. Neither depth of satisfaction nor contentment arise from our situations or our circumstances. Satisfaction comes from the state of the heart. It's as if God has created a place of satisfaction for us inside of us. And from this space, we can do all of the other stuff that needs to happen in our day. The same work from a different reference point. Out of a full and satisfied heart. We can't get no satisfaction? Yeah, actually we can. We can. Many of you have shown me what that looks like. And I thank you. I really notice that the key to this is like my body, my heart does require daily refueling, doesn't it? RSVPing daily by spending time at the waterfall in his presence, praying, reading, listening, becoming still and satisfied. Asking him to pour his Holy Spirit in to fill us again completely, again, for this day. Yesterday, maybe it was great and you filled me, thank you. Or yesterday, I failed and I want it to be different for today. This is now for today. Allowing him to deal with the chaff and the hard things that this day will bring. Inviting him to take care of the deepest needs and part of our joys again on this day, please, so that he can provide the satisfaction that I'm afraid I forget we have access to sometimes. And so that he can be that fountain that streams out of us, streams and bubbles out of us again in this day. Pastor John Piper comments, God is most glorified in us when we're most satisfied in him. God is most glorified in us when we're satisfied, most satisfied in him. To close, John 7:37. Jesus stood and in a loud voice, not the gentle one now, in a loud voice, he said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow out from within him. By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive, it says. Let's drink until we say, be satisfied.
A verse that just came to my mind as well, I don't know where it is, but it's in Jeremiah. It just says, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness. And I was like, wow, that's really beautiful. Thank you, sir. I invite you to stand. We're going to sing number 576 in the Camino.
pray. May the God of peace, the God of deep satisfaction, who loves us deeply and intimately, guard your hearts and your minds as you fill us with you. Amen. Go in peace.